The comments heard on The View from a Pew are those of Mac McCoy and are not necessarily the opinions of his guests, his producer Garth, any one particular denomination or religion, the church lady, Mr. Lemke, Pastor Craig, or anyone else of sound mind and body. Now here is today's The View from a Pew, heard all around the world on YouTube. Just search for The View from a Pew.
And thank you very much, Emily. I'm Mac McCoy, and this is The Roman Road, heard on this radio station at 9 o'clock every Wednesday morning. And we thank those folks at the station for letting us be a part of their ministry. My partner in this ministry in The Roman Road is an alumnus of Dallas Theological Seminary. We call him Theo, and I always start with this question. What's the big idea today, Theo?
Hey, Mac, good to be with you. The big idea of the day for week 69 is justified believers are fellow heirs with Christ, and we suffer and are glorified with him. Let's pray and review. Thank you, Lord, that we can be together today to study the book of Romans. Considering where we are in Christ, may we understand that justified believers are fellow heirs with Christ, and we suffer and are glorified with him. Thank you for the gospel, the good news. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. In that process, he gave us the free gift of salvation through faith only. And now, may everything we say and do be honoring to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Last week, we reviewed Romans 8, 15 through 16. This week, we move on to Romans 8, 17 through 18. The last few weeks leading up to Romans 8, 17 through 18, we have discussed the contrast between those who are according to the flesh, the unjustified, and those who are according to the Spirit, the justified, and adopted sons of God. In verses Romans 8, 4 through 16, we have learned, according to Romans 8, 8, that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. These in-the-flesh people are contrasted with the justified in-the-spirit people, that is, those who have had the righteousness, the perfect law-keeping of Christ, credited or imputed to them through faith. These in-the-spirit justified people set their minds on the things of the Spirit, and this leads to life and peace, according to Romans 8, 6. By contrast, the mind is set on the flesh is death, according to Romans 8, 6. We have seen that the true test of whether a person is a justified believer is whether they are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8, 9. 2 weeks ago, we read Romans 8, 14, which says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." This status is then clarified when Paul writes in Romans 8, 15, as follows, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." So, adoptive son status is conferred on justified believers, and the spirit of slavery that we have received is our voluntary submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. This lordship is a familial relationship characterized as one of deep affection, intimacy, and respect. It is a childlike relationship where the child greatly desires to please the father. This is not out of fear of retribution or punishment, but because of our desire to be a positive contribution to the honor and glory of our new leader and family, the body of Christ. Next, reviewing Romans 8:16, it says, "The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." Given the power and constant influence of evil, sin, and death mentioned in Romans 7:21, and 8:2, we believers need the power, constant influence, and testimony of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to help us repel its attempt to draw us into evil. So the Spirit's reminding us of our status, often through the Scriptures, is a very reassuring statement. Another comfort that comes with this verse has to do with whether we are assured of our justification. As we mentioned earlier, Romans 8:9 says that if we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, we are no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit, that is, justified believers. This is the true test of our status with God. As we see in this verse, that status is given reassurance as the Holy Spirit testifies to us that we are justified children of God. Next, we move to today's new verse, Romans 8:17, and it reads, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." Notice use of the word heir, spelled H-E-I-R. Justified believers have already been told that they are in Christ in Romans 8:1. They have been told that they are according to the Spirit in Romans 8:5. Indwelt with the Spirit in Romans 8:9. Sons of God in Romans 8:14. Adoptive sons of God in Romans 8:15. Children of God in Romans 8:16. So, why does Paul want to tell us that we are also heirs? Don't we already have a sufficient connection to the godly family? It seems that there are more dots to connect here. Heir, H-E-I-R, is a legal term which designates a person who inherits. What do we inherit here? According to Romans commentator Chuck Swindoll, we justified believers, quote, will share inheritance with Christ of everything that is due to Christ himself, except worship itself. John MacArthur's Romans workbook describes heirs as those who stand, quote, to inherit all that God is and has. Romans commentator William R. Newell points out that being born again, as Jesus described to Nicodemus, makes us permanently God's heir. And this is a fact of such overwhelming magnitude that our poor hearts hardly grasp it. Even angels are not heirs of God. Our verse for today goes on to say that we are fellow heirs with Christ. Neil T. Anderson, in his book Victory Over Darkness, says that, quote, we are joint heirs with Christ, sharing in his inheritance with him. Romans 11:36 says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him, Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. Thus, we inherit all things with him. Hebrews 1:2 says it like this, but in these last days God has spoken to us by his Son, whom God appointed the heir of all things. Romans commentator William R. Newell describes this inheritance by saying, ages after ages of ever-increasing blessing, forever and forever and forever, lie in the future for justified believers, for the joint heirs. Paul obviously wanted to re-emphasize the glory awaiting justified believers. Our heirship was also discussed earlier in chapter 4, verse 13 of Romans. There it says, for the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Clearly, the offspring described here in Romans chapter 4 are those of us who have come after Abraham being justified through faith. The inheritance is described as the world, whether taken literally as the New Jerusalem and New Earth in the book of Revelation, or figuratively as symbolic of all available blessings in Christ. It is an amazing assurance of what one's existence in the kingdom of God will be like. Continuing on with the final language of verse 17, it said, if we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This language is subject to broad interpretation. There are probably two primary views about how to interpret this language. Firstly, according to Tom Constable's Romans commentary, the phrase, if indeed, in the Greek, could be translated since. Then it would read, since we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Thus it can be that just as surely as we share in his sufferings now, we will also share in his glory in the future. Accordingly, this verse is not teaching that our future glorification is conditional upon our suffering for Jesus' sake. The second primary view is expressed in Douglas Moo's Romans commentary, where it states the suffering Paul speaks of here refers to the daily anxieties, tensions, and persecutions that are the lot of those who follow the one who was reckoned with the transgressors, Luke 22:37. Paul makes clear that this suffering is the condition for the inheritance. We will be glorified with Christ only if we suffer with him. Participation in Christ's glory can come only through participation in his suffering. While the differences of these two primary positions are somewhat subtle theologically, the second position seems to create a greater expectancy of suffering during the process of sanctification. Regardless of what position you find more compelling, we know from our experience and the experience of others in the body of Christ that the process of sanctification, which follows justification, involves suffering. For example, turning away from temptation invariably involves some suffering. But remember, the suffering is not a cause which renders the result of glorification. Glorification is assured for all justified believers, just as assuredly as all justified believers are suffering for the gospel in our lives. Now let's read Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. What a beautiful verse to follow and comfort us when we understand that the process of sanctification will indeed involve suffering. Though the suffering is unpleasant at present, that unpleasantness does not begin to compare with the glory that we will share with Christ as inheritors of his kingdom. So the big idea of the day, Mac, justified believers are fellow heirs with Christ. We suffer and are glorified with him. Thanks, Mac.
Thank you, Theo. We appreciate you on the Roman Road, week 69. Keep listening every Wednesday at this time on your local radio station or at the View from a Pew on any pod site, Roku, and YouTube. And thanks for listening.
Divine Truth Christian Store, where you'll find more.